Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we will continue our series of mock trade calls. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm the co-host of Locked On Heat, but I'll be acting as the general manager of the Miami Heat, and I'll be calling up some of the hosts from around the Locked On Podcast Network in an attempt to find a deal for Hassan Whiteside. If you're a frequent listener of this podcast, you know we think that the Heat would be better off moving on from Whiteside, but that could be easier said than done. So not only are we calling around to try to trade Whiteside, hypothetically, of course, but also to gauge his perceived value around the league. If you missed our episodes with the Bulls, Bucks, and Blazers, definitely go check those out when you're done listening to this one. On today's episode, I'll be calling the Kings and then the Wizards to try to find a deal for Whiteside. Then my co-host, David Ramil, will join us later on to share his thoughts on the negotiations. Thanks as always for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm here with Charles Hamilton, co-host of Locked On Kings, for our trade call. I am calling you, Charles, because I wanted to gauge your interest in Hassan Whiteside. But first, as general manager of the Sacramento Kings, what are your priorities this offseason? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, I like to go by executive director of basketball operations to convolute the title as much as possible. But for
very
the Kings,
Kings-like.
Yes, exactly. No one really knows who's making the decisions. But as far as the Kings this offseason, it's, you know, nail this draft pick, honestly, whatever position, whatever player it is that we take, get it right. And don't worry about fit. Don't worry about whether they want to be there or not, because I think that's overblown, honestly, because the bottom line is Luka Doncic, even if he doesn't want to be here, he's not going to turn down $7.5 million a year. He's not going to turn down a $30 million contract over these next 4 years. And the fit, that's a luxury that we can't worry about. We're worried about him and De'Aaron Fox fitting together, too bad. We'll figure it out. One of them might have to come off the bench, whatever it is. So that's one of them. Another one is try and find some young veterans. Last year, we went after guys like Vince Carter, who was actually great in the locker room and, you know, really embraced that role. Zach Randolph, same thing. But, you know, we do have Zach for another $12 million. We did have to overpay both of them for them to come last year, and then Zach this year. And then George Hill obviously did not work out at all. So we're definitely looking for younger free agents. Restricted free agency, I think, it's a pretty good restricted free agency year. As I'm sure you've all heard on Locked On Kings, I'm a big Aaron Gordon fan. I think that's who they should make a big push to get because of his versatility defensively. He's improved every single year. He has found a respectable three-point shot. I think he was right around 35% last year. So he can at least has the ability to space the floor. Like, it's there now. And then there's guys like Julius Randle, Jabari Parker that I think we should also look at. And then as far as unrestricted free agents, guys such as Will Barton and Jeremy Grant, I'm pretty sure, is the Grant from OKC. I mix up the Jeremy and his brother Jerry and all the time. But
Jeremy,
one of the Grant
that.
Brothers.
Jerry and the,
yes.
The people, the host from Locked On Bulls, I've been yelled at for the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I'm sure I'll hear from him too. But so younger free agents, younger vets, I guess you could say. And then the third, it would be nice to, I don't want to say shed salary, but we have, three or four vets who are in their last year of the deal. So maybe we could pick up assets for them at some point during the season because we don't have a first round pick next year. So guys like Kosta Kufis, Garrett Temple, Amon Shumpert, Zach Randolph even are the four main ones that are off the top of my head as to who we might be able to get something for, you know, probably closer to the trade deadline when, you know, contenders and playoff teams are looking to add pieces. But those are the three main things. And then also to throw a last one in, just continue to develop the young players, continue to get better, maybe find out which one of these young guys we get, whether it's two or maybe three draft picks, three rookies that they might get this year, or, you know, Bogey or De'Aaron or Buddy, who find out who the quote unquote superstar might be, who the best out of that group is, and just continue to develop them and hopefully get a healthy Harry Giles. So Well, that's the goal.
I think Bogdanovich and De'Aaron Fox with that backcourt, you've got something really that you could build around, and this number two pick, whatever you guys end up doing with it, obviously is going to play a factor in that. We're recording this the Wednesday before the NBA draft, which is happening Thursday night, but there are a lot of it sounds like you guys are favoring maybe Marvin Bagley III out, and if you do end up drafting him, he's a guy who could play both forward, both big man positions. The guy, he could play the four, he could play the five. He calls himself positionless. I wouldn't go that far because he's probably not playing point guard in the NBA.
True.
But he's somebody that, you know, is projected to walk into the NBA and be kind of a walking 20 and 11 kind of guy.
Yeah.
Or if you take Doncic at number two, which, that he still fills a major need for you guys on the wing, what you guys really aren't in the ballpark for or targeting in the draft, what you guys don't look like you're going to be filling in the draft is your need for a rim protector, which is a need. You guys were 26th in the league in defensive rating, 26th in the league in rebounding percentage, and Marvin Bagley projects as a nice player, but he's not going to fix those issues. And I look at what the Kings are doing, and you guys don't have your draft pick next year. So you might as well compete, right? You might as well go all in and try to have a good year and try to get people at the Golden One Center riled up for a really good season and buying into the future of whatever this Kings organization is going to be. So I'd love to trade Hassan Whiteside to you because I go around the league. I know you guys used to have Hassan Whiteside, but you guys couldn't keep him, not because you didn't like him, but because there wasn't a roster spot available. You guys had Boogie Cousins, and you drafted Whiteside in the same draft in the second round. And he was a numbers casualty more than anything. So here, I know I'm not gonna ask for your number two pick. I'm not gonna be asking for Bogdan Bogdanovich, who I really like. I'm not gonna ask for De'Aaron Fox. I'm not gonna insult you or waste your time. But I think you do have a couple of expiring contracts that we could take off your hands that you could basically turn into an impact player right now. And so I'll just start from the top with Iman Shumpert and Kosta Koufos, who just opted in for his last season. Shumpert and Koufos, throw in a 2019 second round pick, and I think that's a bargain for somebody that, like Hassan Whiteside, who could take one of, you know, your close to league worst defense. I think he can get you up to an average defense.
You got me going with that rim protection stuff. You slipped Hassan Whiteside in there. I like what you did with the contracts also, because the thing with us or with the Kings is we're going to have about $19 to $20 million in cap space this year with all these guys opting in. Garrett Temple is the last one that hasn't opted in yet, but we all pretty much assume he will. And so, yes, swapping salary would be nice, and you guys would get two, you know, serviceable players out of it as well. Because Koufos and Shumpert, they're
one serviceable player.
Are we talking Shumpert?
We're talking to Koufos, and I think serviceable by in the locker room. Shumpert,
I will
let's be
hang
real
up on you right now. You
Shumpert,
do not
I
talk
like
about Kosta Koufos like that.
I'm a big Kosta Koufos fan. You're not a Koufos fan?
I love Koufos. Oh, I thought you were.
Okay. No, Koufos is a serviceable player. I'm a big Koufos fan, especially in the locker room. But Shumpert, look, I think he could be good in the right on the right team. I don't know that we're the right team, to be honest, for him. We'd probably look at buying him out. Iman Shumpert in South Beach. I don't know about that. We'd have to wait and see. I'd love to be able to get some use out of him, but being honest, we'd probably end up buying him out if this were the case. But I think Shumpert, Koufos, and just a future second rounder.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You guys have players that are kind of in that, at least on the court, that Shumpert mold. A couple wings who are more defensive minded than offensive.
Yes.
With Richardson and Winslow, right?
And Ronnie McGruder. So Shumpert would be a little bit. Like, we'd like to have him maybe at the end of the bench, but he'd be redundant.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
But the salary works.
We are at a point where we really believe that we're building something here. It's not just lip service anymore. We do believe we found some good young players and are kind of rebuilding the culture here in Sacramento and trying to... I don't know what the word is. Just, you know, we feel like we're actually laying the groundwork right now. And we feel like bringing in someone like Hassan Whiteside at this moment. And you mentioned it, you know, we drafted him. We had him. So there's some unfinished business, I guess you could say, with him in Sacramento. But the risk of bringing him in, and especially on a young team, if if, let's say, the Rockets had, you know, a max slot available for him, that would make sense, or more sense, just because there's some veteran leadership there. But especially on a young team, we just can't take the risk of bringing in a guy like Hassan Whiteside, especially considering that it's 2 years of, you know, what is it, 27, 28 million. Mm-hmm.
27. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, big numbers. And especially, you know, I would say give me a call in 365 days when it's an expiring contract and we're looking at about $70 million in cap space next year, where we might, you know, if we strike out on some free agents, what have you, have the room to make a move. We might be willing to do it, but also, well, we kind of differ on the player of Hassan Whiteside. I would need some kind of sweetener to take him. I'd need a draft pick or two in there, honestly. So I just don't. We're boys. I want to help you out, but I don't think we can do it.
I got one more offer for you. Let's get rid of the draft pick since you think you need some sweetener. What if we were able to clear up some cap space for you? Because right now I offered Shumpert and Kufos off your hands. Mm-hmm. Those are two expiring contracts.
And that'd be about $19 million. Mm-hmm. So we'd be taking on what, $7-8 million to get Hassan.
Right, and into your cap space this year, which really isn't going to make that much of a difference, but not creating much cap space. It's you're going to be on the hook. You're not creating any cap space. You're actually not creating cap space for next season. But what if we took Zach Randolph off your hands, which is probably not going to be a tradable contract for you guys, but we could take Shumpert for salary matching purposes, and Zach Randolph's $12 and $13 million for the next 2 years. If we just do Zebo and Shump for Whiteside, would that be enough of a sweetener for you as far as just taking that long-term money off your hands? Yes, you add Hassan Whiteside, but, like, you know, yeah, Whiteside doesn't have the value that he once did and may be even more valuable, like you said, in a year from now or even closer to the trade deadline. He's coming off of one of his worst seasons. Everybody expects that he's going to have a bounce back here. Maybe you can get some – you'll probably get more out of Whiteside than Zach Randolph.
Oh, no question. And that you know what, that is interesting because the salaries would kind of wash out. We'd continue to have our the cap space that we want to try and make some moves with this year. But again, and maybe it's overblown, but just the attitude, the inconsistent effort at times, we just don't want to bring that into this young locker room. If somehow, you know, we could get it like Michael Porter Jr., if someone could magically guarantee that he's going to be healthy for the next 10 years, we would take him at number two, but no one can do that. And if someone can guarantee that Hassan Whiteside will, you know, be a good locker room presence and play hard, you know, for 82 games, we would do it. But I just don't think we can bring that to our locker room right now. And then also, you know, maybe give us a call end of July when we kind of know whether we were able to get some of these restricted free agents. The biggest thing is we have plans for the money. Mm-hmm. And if the plans don't work out, maybe we can make something work. But at this point, it just wouldn't be at the top of the list. But I do agree with you as far as that last offer, Randolph, Shumpert, Kufos for Hassan. Very intriguing. And if the off-court stuff or the attitude stuff wasn't there, would be willing. But the problem is that it is there, so we just can't do it.
And I'm here with Ben Mehich, writer for The Step Back, who was kind enough to join me on this trade call. This is going to be between the Miami Heat and the Washington Wizards. So, Ben, before we get into trade negotiations, lay out for me sort of what the priorities this offseason are for the Wizards. I should say we are recording this on the Friday after the NBA draft has occurred. So going for the rest of the way, what is Washington trying to do here?
So I thought they wanted to replace Marcin Gortat and add a young big man, which they had an opportunity to do yesterday with Robert Williams on the board. And I actually attended the draft yesterday, and I'm suffering from food poisoning. It's either that or I'm just – my stomach is just too disgusted by what happened and Ernie Grunfeld. But, you know, I thought their main priority was to replace Marcin Gortat and add some youth at the center position, but – they ended up taking Troy Brown, who wasn't even at the draft. He's not very good at anything, but he's 18 years old. So that's basically the only positive asset that he has right now. And, I mean, again, I'm not quite sure. I thought I knew, but if yesterday is any indication, I don't think they even know at this point.
So John Wall had mentioned after the season that two things that Washington needed were athletic kind of rim running big and then additional ball handling and scoring off the bench, right?
Yeah.
Washington is in a similar situation to Miami at this point, where both of them are sort of cap strapped, right? They're pretty much locked in. This is why, like you said, Washington is trying to get off of Gortat's deal, because that could start get them on the road to creating some space, or at least allow some cap flexibility underneath the luxury tax, which they're bumping up against just like Miami is, right? So,
right.
Being that you skipped out on Robert Williams, which I thought you guys would have taken at 15, I tweeted that last night. I was surprised that they didn't take him. He was sitting right there for you guys. But given that you're not going to be a player in free agency, we think that Hassan Whiteside might be a fit for you guys as far as maybe finding an answer at center for the short term. And we could take Gortat's salary off your hands there, because he sort of fits what we're looking for in a low-maintenance center, which would kind of clear the path for us to play Bam Adebayo a little bit more, who we drafted at 14 last June, and we really liked what we saw out of him in his rookie season. So I want to propose a trade to you based around Whiteside and Gortat. Add Jason Smith in for cap-matching purposes, and possibly some future draft compensation from you guys. Do you think we could start there for Whiteside?
I honestly think Hassan Whiteside is a non-starter, just because, simply put, I don't think he's better than Gortat. I think he's more talented and should and could be better, but I mean, since he signed that contract, he's contested less shots than Marcin Gortat. This is a guy who barely jumps, and that's problematic. And I don't think he's a good fit anywhere, to be quite honest with you. I think Hassan Whiteside would benefit from, you know, a change of scenery, maybe. But Gortat wasn't the best teammate last year. I'm not saying Hassan Whiteside is a cancer by any means. He's helped stabilize that locker room at all. And if he doesn't, you know, start playing with some heart and passion as he did when he first started having the career resurgence that he did a couple years ago, I think he could become just as big of a problem, if not more, in Washington's locker room, because John Wall has a tendency to look at contracts. And I remember when Bradley Beal got that max extension, he was like, well, now it's your time to earn it. And that kind of, you know, created a rift in the locker room. And I think it would be the same situation if Whiteside was in Washington. I don't think it's, there's a chance that it could possibly work out again if Whiteside, you know, goes back to playing with heart and energy and whatnot, but I just don't see it. I don't think that's a risk the Wizards want to take. Gortat has 1 year left on his contract. I think Hassan has two. I just don't see the upside in it.
So you're not interested in trading one headache for the other? That's understandable.
I don't think so, yeah.
So,
granted, I mean, Marcin Gortat, he's entering, I believe, his fifth season with Washington. Yeah, he signed a five-year extension in 2004, I want to say. And I mean, he's played in every single game, I want to say, but 10. He's the most durable player on the roster. And aside from last year's Twittergate, with the hashtag or the team win in quotes, he really wasn't in the locker room. He wasn't an issue in the locker room at all. He was a great teammate. The players loved being around him, and you know, he kept things light. And the Wizards knew what they were getting when they traded for Gortat with Phoenix. He had similar issues with Phoenix before he got traded there. He became discontent with his role and expressed that to the team. And Gortat hasn't wanted to be in Washington. He didn't want to be in Washington last year. The Wizards tried convincing him to stay, and they did. And obviously, you know, in hindsight, they probably should have looked to trade him last year because his trade value isn't as high as it once was. But, I mean, he's still one of the best screen-setting big men in the league. Typically, yep. He's, like, top five in box outs. And he does a lot that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. I think Wizards fans get caught up in the fact that he's lost a ton of his athleticism. He's not the flashiest player in the NBA, and he has a tendency to miss some easy shots around the rim. But he does a lot of great things for the Wizards, and John Wall would miss him. He's been one of the league leaders in assists since Gortat got there, and I think you'd see a significant dropout if he left. And everyone's game. Bradley Beal, He sat Bradley Beal up for a ton of open shots on the perimeter. He does a lot of great great things that don't show up on the stat sheet. And I think the Wizards would miss him a lot more than they think they will.
I'm a big fan of Gortat just because of his screening and everything. I actually, you know, was hoping to get Gortat for Whiteside because I agree with you. I think Gortat is a better player than Hassan Whiteside, especially considering the deal he's on, the fact that he is consistently one of the best screen setters in the league, always near the top of the league in screen assists since they've been keeping track of those, which I think has only been a couple of years. But all right, so Gortat off the table for Whiteside. I understand that. But what about your other center, Ion Mahinmi? Right, this is a guy who you guys signed the same year we signed Whiteside, but has been even less valuable for you guys. At least Whiteside for us could do some stuff as far as rim protection and defense could go. I think Whiteside got a little bit of a bad rap because he wasn't able to get on the floor against the Sixers in the playoffs, but we think he could take we think he can improve average to below average defenses just because of his rim protection. And, you know, you guys were 19th in the league in points in the paint per game allowed. We were 9th. You guys were 22nd in the league in blocks per game. We were 6th. And you guys had a middle-of-the-pack defense at 15th in the defensive net rating or defensive rating during the regular season. We think Whiteside could maybe help you a little bit more than Mahinmi. Same amount of years left on their deals. Yes, Whiteside's making a little bit more money, but he could be an impact for you, especially if you guys are able to move off of Gortat and get a little bit more out of him than you would get from Whiteside. Would you be interested in just a bad contract for bad contract swap? Because our logic for getting Mahinmi would be that basically he wouldn't play for us, but it would open the door to us re-signing Wayne Ellington, who we like a lot and would need to re-sign as far as depth in our backcourt and three-point shooting goes. So Mahinmi for Whiteside, does that interest you at all?
The Wizards would have to do some serious vetting. Again, I would, if it was just a player for player deal and it was just strictly based on their production on the court and potential production on the court, I think it's a no brainer for Washington. Whiteside's, he's a better player than him. He's younger. Mahinmi, both of them have had their injuries, but Mahinmi is barely on the court. And when he does, he leads the league in fouls for 36 minutes. I mean, when he's on the court, he's not very good. And he can't really do a good job of staying on the court. So he doesn't really add anything to the team. And again, in hindsight, aside from the Luol Deng and Joakim Noah contracts, the Mahinmi deal was probably the worst in the NBA. And I mean, if the Wizards can rid themselves of that without giving up, you know, a future first round pick or something like that, I think that's something you'd have to consider.
Well, this is the trade call. Is it something that we want to do? Mahinmi for Whiteside? I mean, do we want to pull the trigger on that?
I think it's worth the gamble. I mean, look, it's Zalmaw's going into his 9th year in the NBA. He's played with one other All-Star. He's never really had a reliable backup point guard. And he's played with some really, really bad players. And it's time for the Wizards to, you know, start gambling. And Whiteside would be a gamble, but if it pans out, you know, it could make all the difference and, you know, potentially catapult in the, you know, top 2-3 in the East when he's at his best. So I don't know. I think it's a gamble worth making.
All right, so that's where we're at right now. Whiteside for Mahinmi. But now I think you'll obviously still try to be getting off of Gortat's contract because now he'd probably be your backup center in that case. And you guys have been trying to get off that contract anyway, but we haven't helped you as far as backup ball handling or scoring is concerned, but maybe we can add to this deal. Would you be interested, in addition to Mahinmi and Whiteside, doing a swap for Dion Waiters with Marcin Gortat? We take Gortat's expiring contract off your hands and you get to reunite Scott Brooks with Dion Waiters. No?
You 100% do that. You 100% do that. Dion Waiters, as you know, as funky as a player as he is, would be the best backup the Wizards have ever had. In recent history.
We need draft compensation, of course, in return for giving away our probably best singular scorer on the team. So we were thinking a lottery protected 2019 first.
That's going to be tough because I think you just said Dion Waiters is expiring, right?
No, Dion Waiters is 3 more years left on his deal. Gortat's expiring. That's okay. What I meant to say.
Ah, man, given the Wizards' recent history of drafting, unfortunately, you probably do the deal. This is such a painful conversation to have because the Wizards, they're just so bad at drafting and they don't value picks at all. In a league where young players are, you know, and productive, cheap contracts are at their peak value, the Wizards just fail hard take advantage of it. I mean, last night's draft is a perfect example. So I think, you know, if I were to take the role of Ernie Grunfeld, he probably does it. Last year, he traded for Bogdan Bogdanovich for like 30 games of him and ended up trading a first-round pick for him. Did the same thing with Markieff Morris. So he's traded first-round picks essentially every single year. Yesterday was his first time to actually draft in the first round since 2015. The guy doesn't value picks. The Wizards don't care about young, cheap contracts. They care about overpaying veteran players who don't contribute. So they end up doing the deal. Personally, I wouldn't, but Ernie Grunfeld, realistically, more than likely would pull the trigger on that.
All right, so we can call that into the league office. But out of curiosity, you would be willing to do Mahinmi Gortat and Whiteside and Waiters? Sounds like we've agreed on the lottery protected first round pick next year. All right, well then let's call it into the league office. Appreciate your time, Ben. Best of luck to the Washington Wizards this season, and we'll go from there.
I certainly need it. Well, thank you so much for having me on, Wes.
You got it.
So here's my take on the trade calls with the Sacramento Kings and Washington Wizards. The Kings situation is particularly interesting. You know, that's a franchise that many people view, and perhaps rightfully so, as one that can be easily taken advantage of. Their front office is ever in turmoil, and they've been taken advantage of before. And so when you look at Hassan Whiteside and his talent, what he can provide, it always seemed like a natural fit. The team that originally drafted him could use some rim protection, and Whiteside could provide that if nothing else. But the interesting thing here with Sacramento is that even though they weren't able to address that during the draft, they still don't want the talent that Hassan Whiteside possesses. He is a problem, not because of his contract in this case, but rather as a result of his attitude. That's something that we haven't seen before and we haven't really considered, is that other teams, potentially teams that are rebuilding like Sacramento, Phoenix, etc., might not necessarily want somebody with Whiteside's well-known attitude problems. Now, his attitude is what drove him out of Sacramento in the first place. They had a glut at center and Whiteside never really adapted. Obviously, that's what led to his well-chronicled journey away from the NBA and then back to the Heat at some point. And so that attitude might be somewhat, you know, a factor when you consider whether or not Whiteside could be traded, especially for a team like Sacramento, as Charles pointed out, one that's young, rebuilding, looking for positive locker room influences. Whiteside doesn't necessarily fit the bill there. So that's something to consider, that Whiteside just can't be dumped off on another team there, that he has to actually fit there. While the skills might be there, and even if they're willing and able to take on the contract, there's still an emotional and attitude perspective that is rarely taken into consideration. We can't just dump our problems onto other teams and expect that they'll be willing partners to accept us. So even though Sacramento wasn't able to accept a Whiteside trade at this point, there's still the hope there that maybe in a year, if Whiteside's shown some improvement, when, as Charles said, his contract might be expiring next season, then maybe there's some hope that they could readdress the situation, but who knows what'll happen. Now, as far as the Washington Wizards are concerned, that's a really interesting one. Obviously, this call took place last week, and since then, not only has the draft taken place, which the Wizards did not address their need for a center at that point in time, but there was a trade sending Marcin Gortat to the Los Angeles Clippers in exchange for Austin Rivers. So there's clearly a need at the center position for the Washington Wizards. However, they've been rumored to be interested in Dwight Howard, who is reportedly going to be bought out by the Brooklyn Nets following that trade from the Charlotte Hornets to Brooklyn. And there's also the possibility that DeMarcus Cousins might be high on their radar. So these are things to consider. Washington has two options at the very least that they might be able to consider. Cousins is probably the more expensive option at this point. Howard, while he has some ability, even though we largely think of him as being a bad locker room presence, and there's no denying that, he just can't take things very seriously. So for a team like Washington that's already somewhat dysfunctional, Howard doesn't seem like the best fit. But Cousins, as volatile as he is also as equally talented, but he's also much more expensive. So it's interesting to see whether or not they might be willing to take on a player like Hassan Whiteside. So there wasn't as much need to add a center when the call was placed. Now there is more of a need. But either way, Wes was still able to do a pretty good job of getting a trade done. The problem is that we get back some bad contracts in exchange, notably Jan Mahimi. Now, that's a very, very bad deal for a number of reasons. It just isn't going to work out well in Miami's favor. Mahimi, as we talked about in the Portland Trailblazers call, you know, is going to be the team's third center right away. He might potentially start. I mean, you could see Spoelstra saying, well, I could go for a veteran who will kind of just hold the starting position down for a few minutes and then bring other guys, you know, Kelly Olynyk and potentially Bam Adebayo off the bench. But that just seems like a bad fit. Jan doesn't do anything particularly well. He's not a solid defender. He's okay. He's not a rim protector, not really. And he certainly can't score. He has no touch around the basket. He doesn't have any kind of go-to move and not much range either. So as far as Mahimi's concerned, there's definitely some issues there. He's going to try. He's going to do his best. But we've seen him up close, whether he was with the Pacers, either in the Mavericks, and of course with the Wizards recently. So there's no lack of experience there in dealing with Mahimi. Unfortunately, just not a very good player for the kind of contract that he's being paid. So it's going to be tough to make that a positive for Miami. Again, you're moving some talent and some possible locker room issues for lack of talent and again, a bad contract. So it's not exactly the best situation for Miami. In Washington's case, they get somebody who is somewhat volatile. And if they're willing to take that chance for the rim protection that Whiteside can provide, it should be interesting. And keeping him in the Eastern Conference and specifically in the Southeast Division isn't something Miami is likely to do, but it's the best move you could possibly make. And I guess sometimes you just have to take it. So kudos to West for getting a job done.